At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports as we wrap up a crazy week in the NFL world, and we'll see if it wraps up. It might not today. Welcome in to Birds 365. I'm your host, Xander Krause. That's my co-host, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Football Friday, brother?
Doing well. Preparing, trying to get up for free agency and the zoo that is upon us nearly. Yep. Will be upon us next week with the legal negotiating period. I know everybody likes to say legal tampering, but that's an oxymoron. I used to have that argument with Jody. People just made that term up. The NFL uses legal negotiating.
Right. Period. Yeah, it makes sense. And it does make sense. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah. So anyway, it is legal, so it is not tampering.
But yep, good stuff, Johnny Mac. John, me and you were just talking pre-show, man. By the way, what a big week this was for the Birds. Just a lot of stuff happened. Me and you were talking pre-show. It's like, there's more stuff going on days like this, you know, especially early in March here before free agency, than there was when we were on a run to a Super Bowl, man. It's fun. It's hard to, you know, it's tougher to work on just because there's so much uncertainty to it. You know, the news comes at any given moment. It's a lot of fun, man. Howie's had a good week and a lot of stuff going on, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, and it's only going to pick up because you know, it's going to be a whirlwind. It's a lot better than it used to be, though, because, you know, way back, teams would bring players in for visits, like almost college. And, you know, you'd have reports of guys taking flights to cities, right, and touring, right, and they don't want to let them out of the building. You still have some of that in phase two. Guys will go visit because there's questions, maybe medical questions. But now it's pretty much just, hey, let's get the deal done over the phone. And they'll announce most of the deals agent-wise during the tampering period, legal negotiating period. So it's gotten a little bit better from that perspective. But, I always joke, my wife has been with me for a long time, and she still asks me every year, what do you do this time of year? And I'm like, it's worse this time of year than during the regular season is a breeze, except for the fact that you the grind of going down there every day and going to practice and all that. But from covering the team perspective, this is much, much more difficult.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, and you know how it is. I'm with you. Everybody's vouching for our attention now on the weekends. Oh, I know you're free now. What can we do?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really free. I know you're free.
I appreciate the reach out. Johnny Mac, good stuff, man. Let's just recap. I want to get into some topics today. We got some great topics today. Some things I want to talk about as we, you know, continue to build into this offseason. But before we get into that, I do want to recap what's happened already this week. Obviously, it started with Slay. You released Darius Slay. It started and then went to James Bradberry. You released James Bradberry. That's two veteran cornerbacks out of the locker room, off the football team. And then it became two extensions, or an extension and a signing, of Saquon Barkley and Zach Bond. So a pretty big week for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're shaking and baking, getting ready to go. Obviously, you mentioned the legal tampering period that begins on Monday and then free agency next Wednesday. So the Eagles are checking off boxes early in the offseason, man. They're aggressive already. And, John, they dominated the headlines again in early March, man. It must suck to be another team in Philadelphia because
a lot of the, you know, most of the teams in Philadelphia can't complain because they haven't done their jobs. The Phillies can make a small argument because they've been successful, but it doesn't matter in Philadelphia right now. When the Eagles are good, people just don't care about anything else, as you saw yesterday in a negative way, but a little bit from that standpoint. But yeah, I mean, that's the market you're in right now. But I'll tell you what, if the other teams turn it around, and again, the Phillies have had a pretty good run. I put them to the side. And you'll see excitement as they go to the late in the season, the playoffs. Citizens Bank Park becomes a hopping place to be. But it's sort of far more targeted. It's not it's not year round passion. It's like, oh, they're good, I'm gonna start paying attention. Yeah, and obviously, the other two teams aren't that good.
No, they stink. And now baseball is great, but no, you're right. It's a good way to put it. It's more sectioned out passion right there. John, your thoughts on the moves this week, though, man? I mentioned the four moves: Slay, Bradbury, the Barkley extension, and Bond. As we wrap up this week on a Football Friday, probably won't wrap up the week in terms of content because you never know with Howie. But just for the sake of the conversation on Birds 365, just recapping those four moves. I mentioned they were aggressive early, and they got a lot of stuff done early. Maybe, you know, you called it maintenance and business as usual, but your thoughts on the four moves the Eagles made this week?
Yeah, and I didn't call it maintenance. Howie called it maintenance. Yeah. He called this a maintenance offseason, and that's what I think, you know, has started. Right now, everything is going to plan, and that's a good thing. This is what the Eagles were planning to do. They were planning to target Zach Bond, get him done before free agency. They were able to do that. Little bit of a surprise to us how early they renegotiated and extended Saquon Barkley. 15, 16 months ahead instead of about 12 months as it would typically be. So that's a bit of a surprise, but certainly not to them. And they wanted to set the running back market. And then obviously Bradbury, it's a long time coming. With Slay, you know, there's still some talk that they could work something out. So I wouldn't completely slam the door. Although he's not helping himself with his podcast tour. But God, I love Slay. He's so honest. You ask him a question, and he's going to answer it. And he's tremendously honest. But people don't want honesty. They want validation. I say it all the time.
Is there a place, though, John, you know, talking about guys that you're on a team with? I mean, I don't know. I understand that both sides. I'm with you. I like honest people too. And that's one thing I do love about Slay. But I could see how fans who are fans by nature would look at that and be like, just shut up. Like, why do you have to say that about Jalen Hurts?
Well, and I think,
you know, I get that perspective too.
I get the standpoint. That's a validation standpoint. Look, if you know, I get the standpoint of, hey, don't do a podcast, but then, you know, he has a right to do a podcast. I mean, that's one of the things about
do podcasts, but airing out, you know,
he's not airing out anything. He's answering questions.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
you know, I struggle how to do this because, again, I try to elevate this conversation.
Well, be honest, as you always are, Jeremy.
The names he said were Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. Those are the four elite quarterbacks. He also said on another show, somebody asked him a weird question. I thought it was weird. OBJ at his height or Devontae really Smith? What really weird question. Not close. At his height? Do people forget? I get because of where we are. But Odell Beckham Jr. was arguably the best receiver in football during his prime.
A little bit of a flash in the pan because it came and went quick, but he was very good when he was
got hurt. But at his height, that was the question. I mean, it's not fucking close, to be blunt. If I told anybody today, and this is the team aspect of it, because the quarterback position is the evaluation by fans and even media of the quarterback is atrocious. I say it all the time. It's fucking atrocious. It's Super Bowl driven. Oh, he won a Super Bowl. No, That's not how it works. If I were to tell you Ja'Marr Chase is a better receiver than Devontae Smith or even A.J. Brown, you're not going to get upset. You're not going to get upset. If I were to tell, and you shouldn't, if I were to tell you Patrick Surtain is the best cornerback in football, you're not going to get upset. Well, most well-reasoned people are not going to get upset. There's always going to be the super fan that think they have the best player at every position and yada, yada, yada. And the Eagles have a lot of players where you can make that argument. You can make it about Saquon. You can make it about Lane. You can make it about Jordan.
Right.
They have a lot of guys you can make it say, this guy's the best player at his position. And it's a legitimate argument that they're in the conversation. And that's a very good thing. Jalen Hurts is not in that conversation. I'm sorry if that upsets people. That's just the way it is. He didn't even have his best season. His best season is 2022, which by far he was deservedly the runner-up to be the MVP that year. That was his height as a personal player, and hopefully he can get back to that. But as a team, they've had tremendous success, and he's a very good quarterback. All Slay said, who's elite? And he gave you the four elite names, which everybody fucking agrees with, basically, around the league.
I put Jalen in that conversation. I put him in there as a top five.
The hubris of fans to think about who this guy is, an NFL cornerback. By the way, high profile. If you want to talk about team accomplishment, every team accomplishment Jalen Hurts has, Darius Slay has. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Darius Slay's the best cornerback in football because he's not. Certainly at his age and where he is.
Yeah, but the quarterback's the most impactful position, so it's hard to.
Of course, but it doesn't. If you put the players in a vacuum, which you cannot do, and I rarely say this, but I'm going to say 100%. Now I can't say 100 because there's always some lunatic. There's always some. I'm going to say 95% of executives and scouts and personnel people are going to tell you the best quarterbacks in football in a jumble. You can argue who's one, who's two, who's three, who's four, are those four names. 95% of them are going to say those are going to default to those four names. I'm sorry. You know, that's not saying Jalen Hurts isn't really good. He's really good. There's elite and there's really good. And he's really good. And there's a lot of positives, which I've tried to express on this show. The relentless nature, his ability to overcome bad games, his ability to flush bad plays, his ability to keep coming at you. He's a really difficult player to deal with. All these things are true. He's also not as good as Joe Burrow. He's also not as good as Lamar Jackson. He's not as good as Josh Allen.
Yeah, but that's just from the lens of talent. Like, can you at least acknowledge that there's a talent? Because, I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this, and you can correct me, but I remember Tom Brady. It took 15 years for people to say Tom Brady was the best quarterback in the NFL. It
probably never was.
Yeah.
Probably never was when you look at the history. It could have been Peyton one year. You had the stretch of Aaron Rodgers, who was the best player in the world for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that part, he was always in the category, the top three, top four on any particular season.
But the conversation will always boil down. It'll always be subjective because certain people value different things. If you're going talent and remove everything else, yeah, you're probably right. Those four guys are easily the top four guys.
But
if you put the whole pie together and you talk to me or you or anybody else, everybody's going to have a different gauge on what they think is more important. Is the talent more important than, you know, the winning ability that Jalen seems to bring?
I can't talk to, you know, people's willingness again to go to team to not understand that the vacuum part of it, that you can't put everybody in different situations. And you know, does anybody think that the Eagles wouldn't have a better offense, everything together, and have Joe Burrow? They might not win the Super Bowl, by the way, but yeah, they have a better fucking offense.
Well, that's where I think there
but
should
I
be
don't
more
know if he's work. Gonna play better on February, whatever it was, February. Right.
I understand that point. I'm just saying there's got to be more room for, you know, Jalen Hurts has done what he's done on this football team. And if you want to say that Joe Burrow would be better, that's fine. I mean, maybe he's more talented, but there's more to it than that. I mean, Jalen has done.
I don't get the it's if you same way. You can't do it, but if you could do it, if you put Jalen Hurts with the supporting cast of the Cincinnati Bengals, he ain't winning the Super Bowl. I could say that definitively. Nobody, I could say that.
Nobody's exactly.
So I don't the team aspect of it. People don't use it for other positions. Yeah, I agree with you. Quarterbacks mostly.
Yeah, but there's got to be again. Aaron Rodgers is arguably the most talented quarterback to ever play the game of football. Arguably. Obviously, most people would take Peyton Manning. Most people would take Tom Brady. Most people would take, Joe Montana. Most people would take the guys that have more hardware. So I don't. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's not the crazy.
The hardware argument is, I know I'm not winning it. Believe me, but it is so short-sighted. It is so. There's 46 guys on game day. Tried to win that fucking game. There's Zach Bond making a play. There's Cooper DeJean making a play. There's a defense keeping one of the great quarterback coach tandems in history to not even pass the 50-yard line for 9 consecutive drives.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I mean, and we all default to the quarterback. Now, there's plenty of people that don't. And I'm not picking on Jalen Hurts. I'm saying any year. You know, John Elway, I always say John Elway was great when he was losing Super Bowls, and he was mediocre to below average when he won Super Bowls. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody remembers as time passes. That was Terrell Davis's team that won, that put him over the top. John Elway was at the end of his career. Was not even close to being the player he was when he was losing Super Bowls.
Well, I think the challenging part of this is separating what you're talking about. Because, look, let me ask you this. If you had both players in their prime and you're a GM, would you take Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Well, here's the way I would describe it. Exact same circumstance, exact same players. Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, exact same coaching staff, exact same. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, nobody has played the position at a higher level than Aaron Rodgers. Nobody. Nobody in the history of football.
Okay, so that's your opinion. I would not agree with that because I think there's more to it than talent.
You've used the word talent. You haven't heard me use the word talent because there's far more to it than talent. There's processing, there's all the things that make quarterbacks great. Aaron has top tier talent, certainly. Tom, not as talented, yes, from a physical standpoint, from a trait standpoint, but still very good. He worked himself into a guy who was, probably the best ever when it comes to that processing aspect. Or, I would argue Peyton's a little bit better from that aspect. But either you're talking some of the greatest of all time, and that conversation, if you're in the conversation, I'm not going to yell it. It's like I always use LeBron and Michael. It's interesting. This year, I just had one of my friends this week, ironically, because I've been saying LeBron's a more well-rounded player for many, many years. I can't tell you how many times I get shit on for that. Now people are starting to figure it out. Because he's still doing what he's doing at 40.
LeBron can play for 30 years at this level. I still got MJ.
Well, yeah, but you've closed your mind. I mean,
I think MJ had higher highs, and ultimately that's what makes greatness. What 8-8 isn't ultimately.
What about that? Could you ever picture LeBron James being Michael Jordan on the Washington Wizards? Can you ever see him falling to that depth?
Well, higher Ever. Highs could be lower lows, but again, the game is.
I think he'd be smart enough to walk away before that happened, but I can't even fathom it. And the guys, I don't even know how old he is now, and I can't even fathom it. that he would fall to that level, because he's just unbelievable. I mean, from a physical standpoint, everything about him, from a standpoint of what he does on the floor, from a standpoint of being able to guard five positions in the height of his career, there's never been a more well-rounded basketball player.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, his prolonged excellence is unbelievable. There's no doubt about that.
But anyway, I just bring that up because I got that text this week, and it was like, that's looking a little bit better than it looked the years past. I know I'm not winning the hardware argument. I know that's what, and to a certain degree, it's not other players, but it is when it comes to Hall of Fame time. That's what people say about every position, to be honest. Oh, he won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. This guy didn't win a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know why people can't look at a particular game day, whether it's the Super Bowl or Week 7 against Jacksonville or whatever, and say, this is not the same as this or this week or this week, and say, he's elite and he belongs in the conversation with elite players because he won the Super Bowl. When he was in a Super Bowl 2 years prior and actually played better during the whole season. But he lost it. So that, like, now I'm defending Jalen Hurts because I'm like, what about that? But he gets shit on for losing because James Bradbury held J.J. Smith-Schuster, or they can't cover a punt, or Aaron Seipas kicks the football the wrong way. It works both ways.
Yeah, I get it. I think I put a lot of value on the it factor and the clutch factor and some of the intangibles that I think have made up. I mean, even if you look across all sports, all of the greatest athletes in the history, you can talk about Jordan, you can talk about LeBron, you can talk about Wayne Gretzky, you can talk about any sport. Take any sport that you like and find the greatest players, they all have an intangible it factor that seems to continue to drive them to get to the top. Go to Kobe, go to anybody that you like in any sport. And I think Jalen has that better than any other quarterback. And I value that a lot more than maybe you do, which I think is fair, which I think is fine. I mean, I'm fine to have the difference of opinion,
I think that's, first of all, I agree. I say it all the time. He's relentless as a player. But you mentioned some big names there, and it's easy for basketball, but
yeah, Jalen's not in their category yet.
The LeBron physical talent freak level, the Michael physical talent freak level, the Kobe level, that's what we're talking about with Mahomes and Lamar and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. That's what we're talking about, the highest level of talent and traits and ability to play the particular position. Then you got to marry that with that drive. And that's where you get true greatness.
Right.
And I agree with guys like LeBron and Kobe and Michael had both, and have both in the case of LeBron still playing. But when it comes to quarterback, the only one you could say to, like, all right, Patrick Mahomes had a terrible Super Bowl, and people can crap on him all they want. I always say the old wrestling axiom, don't crap on, don't downplay. If you're an Eagles fan, don't downplay what the Eagles did. They beat the greatest quarterback coach tandem, and they stifled him. Don't downplay that by downplaying the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have the will to win. That was his third consecutive Super Bowl. Well, I don't know how many damn AFC championship games he's been in a row. I've lost count.
Yeah, I don't think the will to win argument works against Mahomes.
The other guy's got to get to that level, but Patrick certainly does and doesn't. To throw everything on one game where the offensive line couldn't block the Eagles' defensive front, whether you go to Brady, I talked about it all the time, whether you go to Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts or anybody else you want to mention, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, If you can't block people, you can't play offense. So that's instilled in it. And if the Eagles ever get a bad offensive line, which doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon.
Right.
But, never happened. But for longtime Eagles fans, oh, it's happened. They know. All you have to do is go back to Doug Peterson's last season when it was injury driven. It was freaking ugly. Why was it ugly? Because they couldn't block anybody.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to go back that far.
Well, we are talking about the ultimate team game. So everything you're saying is 100% accurate. I mean, you can't take that stuff out of the game.
To get back to Slay, you know, do people want honesty or validation? If you want validation, that's fine, but just realize it. Nothing he said was dishonest. He tells the truth. He loves Jalen Hurts. He's good friends with Jalen Hurts. He's constantly up. I've never heard Hurts Slay not uplift somebody. But if you ask him a question, he's going to tell you the truth. AJ's the same way, by the way.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as much in public. If you ask him a question. Well,
that's where I feel like the subjectivity of it comes into. Because I agree with you where Slay, he didn't even say, let's be real here. He didn't say anything that pissed me off. I don't care that he doesn't agree with, think about quarterbacks like I think about quarterbacks. He's another man. I bleed like he bleeds. And he has a different opinion than me. That's perfectly fine. But I do think there's an element of, should you not talk about players that you're on a team with, like at that moment? You know, I don't know. If me and John had a fight off the air, like, would I come on and talk about it? I could be honest with somebody, but is that the best thing to do? I think there's a fair question.
Well, that to me is a very fair way to look at it from an Eagles perspective. Like, they would like these guys to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I'm sure Big Dom was sending some texts.
I mean CJ's out there. I don't know what the hell CJ was doing, and all, but then AJ's chiming in. I'm like, what the fuck? Just get off social media. That's what I would say. As you know, if I'm Dom or I'm Howie Roseman, I'd be like, I try to steer guy, but you're not allowed. I mean you can't. That's the world we live in. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a platform. Everybody could start a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and most of them aren't worth a crap because they do that, to be honest. And they're very political, and they're not going to tell you the truth. A lot of people ask me, why don't you try to get more players on the show? And I'm like, because I have no fucking interest, dude.
Yeah,
because
that's
they're not going to be honest.
Yeah. You've always been open about that from week one of the show. That was never the goal of this show.
Yeah. And some of them would, but even they're guarded. They're more guarded, especially with somebody who covers the team on a daily basis versus, you know, going on with another player as often, you know, and then they start talking amongst each other and get themselves in trouble. But, I mean, Slay, if you ask him a question, he's going to tell you the truth. And I have no problem with it. I get why the Eagles would have a problem with it.
Yeah, well, that's where I think. That's where I think people are coming at it from.
Yeah. But from the fan base perspective, yeah, I mean – Yeah.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment
plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I don't get the need, the constant need for validation. Like,
your thoughts on the CJ Gardner-Johnson portion of it, because, you know, he's one of those players, John, and this is a tough one for me, because at sometimes I'm like, yo, dude, please just shut the fuck up. But on the other hand, I think I can acknowledge that my opinion is not that valid. And some of the stuff that CJ Gardner-Johnson does is what makes him a good player. He plays with passion. He's a very prideful person. He takes things personally. Do I want to say don't be that guy and then turn him into somebody he's not? I don't think that's fair. I don't love everything he does, but I don't love anything. Anybody does. So I can remove that part of it and still not have much of an issue with it. But how did you see what CJ Gardner-Johnson did?
I mean, he's very easily upset. And I always joke about disrespect season. There's this whole, it's almost like a trait of Philadelphia. Fans believe they're always disrespected. The referees are against them. The NFL Films, which has been based in Mount Laurel for years and basically only employs Eagles fans, is against them. The league office is against them. Even though Troy Benson's, you know, one of the most powerful people in the league, John Runyon controls the rules. James Thrash is a big wig in the NFL. The league office is against him. I was before we jumped on, my buddy Hunter Brody, evidently they had Dave Dombrowski on. He's talking about the disrespect Dave Dombrowski showed the Phillies fans by saying, hey, you know what? If you look at the rest of the playoff teams, our plate discipline was middle of the pack. He's telling you the truth. The game has changed, though. So anyway, man. I'm giving a Hunter. Hunter's great, by the way. I love Hunter.
Yeah, but we should get him on soon. I like Hunter too. I think
this mentality of always disrespect, it's not true. Number one, and if you come at it with that chip on your shoulder, you're going to feel disrespected. I think that CJ comes at everything with that chip on his shoulder. And with the Reed Blankenship thing, it's stuff like I said that yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
Bick confirmed that. Like, he's the guy. He's the communicator on the field. And that's what, you know, again, Slay was asked the question. He said, well, Reed's going to be the leader if I'm not here. Honestly, he's already the leader on the field. Now, I think what Slay was trying to say off the field, because he's kind of the leader as a team captain, on the field, Reed's already the leader of the secondary already and has been. So I don't know why that. And then CJ kind of, you know, scaled it back a little bit, saying he trusts the young guys. So, that's to me is CJ. He says something off the seat of his pants and then thinks about it and goes, it's probably not that bad. But
do you think there's an element that the player should just like stop acknowledging what the fans are talking about on social media?
Oh, because, God, yeah.
I don't want to speak for you, but you know, people criticize fans for always having something to say or always chirping about something. Like, dude, they're fans. That's what it means. That's what being a fanatic is. You have thoughts and opinions, and you want to talk about your team all day, and you want to grade your quarterback against the rest of the NFL. Like, that's what they do. But when the players acknowledge it or the players give it credence, I think that's when it takes it to a new level. Like, guys,
I've had that discussion with AJ. I've had that actual discussion. I go, dude, why do you acknowledge this stuff? Basically, is what I asked him. He was like, and he knows he shouldn't, but you know, it's very hard when people say, because I went through this at a much lower level. Earlier in my career, I would chirp back to everybody. Now right. I just mute everybody. I don't, I you're out, man. You say one thing, you're out. And I'm never going to hear what you say because I've gotten to that level. It's not fucking worth it. You're not going to change the mind of somebody who's irrational or doesn't understand what you're trying to say. But it took me a long time to get there. And I'm a lot older than these guys are. So when people take shots at you or take shots at your teammates or you believe they take shots at you, it's really difficult to just sit back and ignore it. But yeah, I would certainly, if I'm giving advice to every, and I've given that advice to certain players, I would say just ignore it. But it's easier said than done.
I get it. Good stuff there. There was a little bit of drama that happened today and or yesterday, whatever the hell. Whatever.
All based on telling the truth, by the way. Every single instance, truth. Which well, to me, if people have a problem with that, as Cody Rhodes said to Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the greatest turn in modern wrestling history, if you got a problem with that, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's but what also, I was. Yeah. But I think on the same breath, because I agree with you, don't be mad at Sly, but at the same breath, I'm not going to be mad at CJ Gardner-Johnson. He's allowed to have his opinion. He's a prideful guy. Again, that's part of what makes him a good player on the football field. So
no,
I'm not mad at Sly for telling the truth. We're talking about it, I guess, but
I'm not mad at CJ. And that's what I said. That's the difficult part. Like, why do you take – like, CJ knows Reed's the leader on the field. He knows that. So why do you take that as disrespect? You know, that I can't speak to, you know, well, that's
you know, a certain man takes more things personal than another guy does, I guess.
Yeah. So that stuff I can't speak to, but I mean, Vic already said it. So for those who are doubting Slay, if Vic, you can go back and watch Vic's press conference when he talked about it, you know, all those things are archived. He already said it. Reed handles the communication in the secondary. So why he found that disrespectful, I don't know. I can't answer that.
I do think that's personal. Misinterpreted that a little bit, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that I'm not going to get angry at him for, you know, people get upset when they feel they're disrespected.
Yeah.
But from the fact of what Slay said, that was the truth is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I got you. Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. John, the other stuff that happened this week, man, I wanted to talk real quick, recap the moves, and we got into the Slay, CJ Gardner-Johnson tangent, which is fine. But the Bond deal got done. The Saquon extension came in, and now we move into the next phase, or I guess the next couple of days, and see what the next moves might be. But just your final thoughts on those two moves coming in. Bond got done. You talked about it on the show that you thought it would get done, and if it didn't get done, you were going to rip Howie Roseman, but it did get done. And then the Saquon move as well, which I think surprised many people just because they didn't need to get that done. He was still under contract.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on those two final moves, and then we'll talk about some of the upcoming things that are coming next for the Birds.
Yeah, I think good strategy from a Saquon standpoint, not only from the, you know, getting an extra year while this championship window remains open. Plus, you send a good message to other players and agents that, you know, Philadelphia might be a good place to do business with. I think that's always a positive. Zach Bond, they had to get done. They did get done. The only way it wasn't going to get done if they tried to really lowball them. And that's not the Eagles' history. If you perform, they're going to reward you. Now, could he have gotten, if he wanted to play hardball, could have gone to pre-agency and gotten a little bit more? Probably. But not, they didn't lowball him.
Yeah, they didn't lowball him at all. That was a great contract for him. Yeah. That was well above what I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to max out at 15, and maybe they did with the guaranteed money, but they went a little higher in terms of average annual.
Yeah, so as long as you're about
that, because it's perception.
Yeah, as long as it's fair, and it was fair. No issues there. And then we'll see. I think Dallas got it. You know, I misspoke yesterday. I want to correct that because I read the contract wrong. He doesn't have any guaranteed money left. So they do have to address Dallas Goedert in some form or some fashion. So that might be the next move.
Yeah. And yeah, that's going to be one of our topics today, talking about him. Because
and that can go, yeah, that can go a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, so many ways.
They have nothing to replace.
Oh, I will lay out for you a plan that I think would make sense for Dallas Goedert later on in the show, and I'll get your opinion on it and see if you would go a different route.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, we'll talk about that later, but you know, my feeling on Dallas, and he showed it during the playoff run when he got back healthy, which there's some concerns about not being able to stay on the field, but he's still a really good player. And until I got something in place, I can't just walk away.
I agree completely. I mean, I had somebody, you know, I was in a little Twitter thing last night, and I was putting out, what's the next thing? And somebody was like, trade Dallas Goedert. I'm like, trade him? One, for who? And two, is Grant Calcaterra your plan for this Super Bowl window? I don't like that idea, but we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about Cam Jurgens as well. I want to talk about Becton because, John, I was thinking about this. You know, last night, I was thinking yesterday after our show, and I'm thinking about Becton, and I'm like, man, I want Becton to get done. And then I thought about the contracts that this team has. I thought about where all of their money is going, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. I think about some of the stuff that's coming up in the pipeline. And then I think about the asset that they used on Tyler Steen, which was not a cheap at. That was a third round pick, I believe, right? A day two pick. And I'm like, boy, maybe they're going to put Steen in there because, look, that's what Howie likes to do. I mean, he spends draft picks on players. He wants to get them in there. I was wondering if maybe Becton could be gone because they want to get Steen in there, or maybe Steen becomes a trade candidate, and I'm not really sure.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Tyler Steen other than if they, you know, lose out, because I do think they're going to have, you know, be more disciplined with Mekhi.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it for a couple reasons. One, you know, you have the tackle guard debate. Now he has indicated to me personally that he'd rather stay inside a guard. So that's a good thing from the Eagles perspective. But if somebody else views him as a tackle, and that's what he was drafted as, and he wasn't exactly chopped liver.
No, he wasn't.
Everything. He was the 11th overall pick in the draft. Everything about him screams left tackle from an athleticism standpoint, from a size standpoint, from his arm length. We always talk about, you know, Ian Cummings was good about that. We had him on the draft. I mean, this guy's got almost 35. I just looked it up. 35 5/8 inch arm length. This guy should not be a guard, but he played the way he played. It deserves a lot of credit and was a big part of that offensive line, which I told you, one former GM told me, maybe the best offensive line he's ever seen. And he was a big part of that. We know the big stars, and I'm not trying to say he's in Lane's category or George Gary or Landon's category, but boy, he really fit here.
Yeah, he did.
Fit. Especially with Saquon Barkley as the running back. Just that his ability to get, I was talking to a scout talking about that Anthony Belton the other day. I was texting with a scout, and Anthony Belton, you could see, has some similar traits. I talked about that with Ian yesterday, and the Eagles are bringing him in for a top 30 visit. Played tackle in college. Now he's not a high level prospect like Mekhi Becton, but the key from his standpoint was the leverage that Becton has when pulling just from his sheer size. It's like, as a linebacker, and it made sense. He's like, all right, if you see Mekhi Becton, you saw it so many times with him kicking out for those blocks and on those long runs by Saquon. If you're a linebacker, it's almost you gotta choose a side. You gotta go under or over. And if you guess wrong, and if you have a running back who can read the block and make the adjustments like Saquon Barkley, you know, he you might even guess right, but then right. Saquon cuts it back or Saquon cuts it outside. Just his sheer size. And I think they're going to try to replicate that with somebody like Belton if they lose him. But, you know, when and a third round pick, I agree with you, is a valuable asset. But look, if Tyler Steen doesn't deserve to be on the field, they're not going to put him on the field because he was a third round pick. And well, they showed that last year.
He was on the field. He wasn't trash can. He was decent. I mean, you know what I mean? That's where I just wondered if – because – and I'm not saying that Mekhi doesn't – I want Mekhi back. I'm being completely honest. I'm just wondering if – you know how it is, business, John. Sometimes you can't pay.
Well, no, if you lose, you know, and if you lose them, they'll start with like they started last training camp, and by that I mean they, you know, Tyler Steen. For those who forget, he was the starting right guard, and then he sprained his ankle, and that was that. And they put Mekhi in there, and he never gave up the job. So
Wally Pipped, a little bit of a Wally Pipped.
Well, yeah. Tyler Steen ain't Lou Gehrig, but no, yeah, he was Wally Pipped.
he's not.
You know, they were hopeful to the point we all said it in the offseason. You know, the Eagles, for those who don't know, the offensive line is for years has been in the back right of the locker room, and they all sit together and they put them in those positions. Jordan Mailata has the last locker, which is left tackle. Then comes Landon Dickerson. Then comes Cam Jurgen. Then comes Mekhi Becton. Then comes Lane Johnson. Little five set of lockers. They all sit together. Tyler Steen had Mekhi Becton's locker in the offseason. They wanted him to win that job. He lost the job, and they moved Mekhi in there.
Steen losing the lock. Not only losing the job, but losing the locker. You hate to hear it.
Yeah. Well, they.
How do you take that, by the way, Tyler Steen? Did he ever show signs of, you know, being down about it, or, you know, maybe you don't know?
No, I mean, you know, I he wasn't a, you know, he's a second year player last year. He wasn't entrenched by any means. So yeah, right. It wasn't like one of those things where, but I think he handled it well. And to your point, when he did play, I thought he was competent, but I don't think he was good. You know, I think
he was definitely not as good as Mekhi Becton. That's for damn sure.
And there was a significant downgrade when he was in there. So they would start there. If they lose Mekhi Becton, he would be penciled in, as Chip Kelly would say. But, you know, easy to erase if somebody comes in and plays at a higher level.
Yep, no doubt about it. Good stuff, John and Matt. John, we'll get to our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk Cam Jurgens. I wanted to talk Becton and Steen after the break, but we just talked about it there, so that's good. We'll talk a little bit about Dallas Goedert, and I'll give you the scenario I have in my head on Dallas Goedert, because they got to do something at tight end, but I don't think moving on from Goddard makes sense at this point in the offseason. Then I want to talk about some other young guys on the roster that might step up. Let's get to a couple of super chats here. I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. Another great crowd. You guys have been tremendous all week, all offseason, all year long. So thank you all for being here. Hit that like button on the show. If you're listening to the podcast, leave that review for us. We appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, drop your comments either in the live chat, or if you're watching after, drop them down below. Don't forget to subscribe. Do all the things that make our channel grow. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. So thank you all for being here. Suo Blaze checks in with a super chat. Jalen is elite in different ways, he says, John. And I think John has said that, but I agree.
I've said pretty consistently for people who listen to the show, there are tremendous, tremendous traits for Jalen Hurts that are largely intangible, that people don't recognize as much as they should. And one of the biggest is his ability to flush plays, as he's called it himself, and flush games and flush bad quarters.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to do. I was a goalie when I played hockey.
Tremendously hard thing to do.
Very hard. I was a goalie back in the day. And the hardest thing as a goalie was when you let up a goal, by the drop of the puck the next time, you better forget about that goal or else you're fucked. If you're thinking about that goal, you're going to get burnt.
90% of quarterbacks, if they have a bad, say, first 25 minutes of the game, they're going to have a bad game. And Jalen Hurts could have, I've seen it numerous times, Indianapolis during the first Super Bowl run, Houston during the first Super Bowl run, you know, the 65-yard passing game. It could be in-game. Forget about game-to-game. It could be in-game.
Right.
Where he has a bad game, and all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, there he is. You better be up two scores because he's going to be making plays at the end of the game.
Very true.
And lifting you to a win. So there's a lot of elite traits to Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. But if you ask me who's better, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell you who's better. And the four names, Lamar Jackson, Darius Slay said, Lamar being one of them, are better. I'm sorry. The fact that the game's not played in a vacuum and everybody doesn't have the same supporting cast, and some people can't see that, I'm never going to win that argument. But yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Vulnerable Vitality checks in. What's up, brother? Appreciate you being here. He says, excited for all the offseason work you and John are going to be putting in. Keep being great. Jacob, much love. Go Birds. Vulnerable, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Great super chat there. And we're going to have tons of great offseason content, as you've already seen in the first three. What has it been? 3 weeks since the Super Bowl now, John? Was the parade 3 weeks ago?
Ooh, less than a month, because everybody was on Twitter.
It's been 4 weeks. The parade was 3 weeks ago today. I think it was on a Friday, that parade. So moving already, man, moving already. Brandon Lewis, what's up, Brandon? Hope you're doing well, brother. He says, John is right. The hardware argument is for casuals.
Well, thank you, Brandon. You said it better. It really is, honestly. I mean, it is.
Brandon, I love Brandon. Brandon is your he is your guy, John. He loves
everything. Well, I appreciate it, Brandon. I mean, it is. It is. If you think about it from a logical standpoint, nothing that Brandon said is incorrect. You don't do it about other positions.
I think that does it get to a point where, like, the hardware becomes so good that it's no longer casual? Like Tom Brady, like you said. Well, Tom Brady might not have been as talented as Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning.
But there are no people in the NFL. But first of all, there are no people in the NFL disparaging Jalen Hurts. That's a false narrative. But there's nobody who will sit there other than a fan of an imposing team that will tell you that Tom Brady is anything other than one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So,
but isn't the hardware what makes him the GOAT then?
I think the consistency from season to season is what makes him the GOAT. And if he
had that consistency from season to season and didn't have rings, we wouldn't be talking about him as the GOAT.
I don't care what casuals think. I'm sorry to put it that way.
That's some of the esteemed minds in football.
How many years did Tom Brady play?
A lot. 20. What is it? 20? 22?
Well, he's with New England. He was, it was 2000 draft, so it was 2 decades with New England, and then 3 years in Tampa. All right, he won seven Super Bowls. He lost his last game a hell of a lot more than he won his last game. I don't the consistency from year to year. His ability to win games week in and week out from year to year. How I describe the greatness, even of lesser players in the fans' minds, like Aaron Rodgers, how I always describe how spoiled the Green Bay fan base became, not only with Aaron, but Brett Favre before him. And they felt every week that they were going to win the game. And they were right. They should have felt that way, because that's how high level their quarterback play was for a quarter century. Same thing with Tom, same thing with Peyton. Their fan bases went into every week knowing they could pop out their chest and we're going to win this fucking game. And far more often than not, they were right. And they should have had that mentality, because they were going to be in a position to win the game because the quarterback played at such a high level. When you go to that level of Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, nobody's going to argue with any of those guys.
Well, yeah, because the common denominator at that point is
they have both, and not to a certain extent with Peyton as much. Peyton was terrible in a second. Peyton's the best example of all. He was terrible
on that Broncos Super Bowl. Yeah. He was. Can't deny that. Suplex City. What's up, Suplex? Hope you're doing well, brother. He says, where does this leave Sidney Brown? Bench?
He's already on the bench. What do you mean? Yeah. What?
Well, I don't know. I have had people come and like, oh, Sidney gets in. I'm like, I like Sidney Brown as a player. I love how aggressive he is. But John, and maybe I'm wrong. I will be wrong. I will eat my crow on this if I'm wrong. Right now, I don't see him as an every down player in the NFL. I just don't. I think he plays with his hair on fire. It's awesome. But I don't think that translates necessarily to being a great every down defensive player in the NFL. I haven't seen it yet from him, but that's just me.
Well, I think one of the things, he wasn't healthy this season.
Yeah, true.
And there were some issues with the rehab coming back. Didn't go as well as it was hoped to have gone. So hopefully hopefully he's going to be healthier. He's going to be confident coming off that injury. But just to the point, he was already on the bench. I mean, yeah, he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be a backup. Hopefully he's a better backup than he was this year, because basically he fell behind Tristan McCollum because, you know, Vic didn't trust him as much, and he didn't trust him as much because he wasn't healthy. So this year I expect him to be the third safety behind Reed and CJ. And hopefully he's completely healthy. Hopefully that's behind him. And yeah, if he can ever play more disciplined and marry that up with some of his physical gifts, then he might really have something. But certainly, yeah, he's going to start. Everybody needs backups, and right now he's a backup player.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening with him and a couple other guys back there. We'll talk about in the next segment. I want to get to our commercial break. I want to thank again all you guys for being here. You guys are the best. We've had great chats already this morning. Tons of people watching the show across all of our platforms. So we appreciate everybody. Hit that like button for us. Help us continue to grow here on Birds 365. We've been crushing it on the show, and that's all because of you guys. Me and John could come up here and argue and bicker and talk and debate and all these things, and we could talk to nobody. It wouldn't work. So it's all thanks to you guys. We appreciate that support, and for you guys checking in and listening to us talk football with you guys each and every single day. So your support is appreciated. Let's get to our first commercial break. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys about the great people at BetUS. March Madness is right around the corner. Baseball season's right around the corner. The NBA's in full swing right now. The NHL's in full swing right now. Tons of stuff for our sports bettors to continue to bet on. March Madness, one of the funnest things, I'm sure, if you're a bettor, to bet on with all of those games all day long. So go and check them out right now. Go to BetUS.com. Use the promo code YouTube150. That's YouTube150. It gives you 150% sign-up bonus on your very first deposit. You get 125% on your second and third deposit, all up to $2,000. So deposit less and bet with more at BetUS. They have the fastest payouts in the industry, 24/7 customer support, and they'll even give you your own custom account manager. So we appreciate them for sponsoring the show today. We'll be right back on Birds 365 in 3 minutes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.